Ren.
Hello! Jizzle, it's on you.
Welcome to Dreadlore. It's a tabletop role-playing game that rewards immersive roleplay. Tonight's game, we are playing The Red Writ.
The Red Writ.
The Red Writ!
In Dreadlore, characters use traits to gain control over the fiction. If they're tasked with a pose or particularly difficult, they might have to throw down dice. But more so, it's on us to be creative more than dice play. I'm Drizzle. I play Simon Vincent. We have Ken Howell, who plays Nord.
Nord Zetterberg.
Andrea Elliott Johnson, who plays Leah.
Leah.
Daniel Hulker, who will be here in a minute, plays Tony.
Tony. And
our arbiter, Bill Buncombe.
That bitch.
We'd like to thank all lowercase letters and Mr. Thank Interrupt for the music thank that you, you'll Mr. be hearing. Thanks to our Patreons, Nostalgic Natalia.
Natalia
Tim
Klein.
Tim Roberts. And Daniel Hulker. Yeah.
The Hulkinator.
Thanks to Couchfire Media for all the pretty images and stuff you see and for doing all the technical stuff that we don't have to handle.
www.couchfiremedia.com.
And thanks to Terrible Productions for whatever the fuck they do.
They're terrible. They're
Three replay.
They're going to get fired.
No, they aren't. They're needed. It's a necessary thing.
Hey, everyone who's on the stream. Thanks for joining the stream. You know, we have a chat thing in the Twitch stream chat thing. You get dread points, which are channel points, for being in the stream. This is a Twitch thing. And you can use those channel points to do cool shit. For example, you can highlight your message. Hey, we'll pay attention to you. You could do things like reward the players with game resources. All of this is described somewhere on Twitch. I will let you find that out because I don't know how to use Twitch. I just set it up. If you're interested in any of what we're doing, dreadlore.com is where you'll find all the information. We do so many podcasts and so much bullshit. You are welcome to join us on our bullshit journey. What is the next step of this? Oh yeah. So we've started a podcast. We've got this live Twitch thing. You can also find all of these episodes, including our Into Space campaign, including our Getting Geeky Gamer podcast. All the shit is on Spotify. Tell your friends. Hide your kids. Hide your wives.
I got a new...
What?
I have a new tagline. I just made it what up in it? My head. What so, you know how it used to be under the Dreadlore things that like you don't need to roll the win?
Yeah, okay. It used to be. It still is. It's on the fucking t-shirt.
Okay. So, well, I thought there was some kind of confusion. Anyway, I got a new one. And it says, this is just for us, like, we don't need to roll the win, but we do roll up.
I just sounded what was that laugh? Ha 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 ha. I had a cartoon laugh. I have a cartoon laugh. What is it again, Andrea?
We don't need to roll the win and like a comma, but we do roll up.
We do roll up. Yeah, if we can make that tighter. Tighter, you know what I'm saying? Then we could probably put it on a t-shirt. Hey, there's t-shirts. You could get the Dreadlore logo on a fucking coffee cup. Get on a goddamn bag. None of my players have it, but they all have the books. Drizzle,
yeah, I got a t-shirt.
I've got two shirts.
Where's my t-shirt?
Ken, do you have a shirt? I'm gonna get you a shirt. You can get the shirt that I'm wearing. This is one of the new ones. Do you like the... you need to go to the red bubble thing. That's what it's on. And pick out a shirt, and I'll get you a shirt. Baby.
All right.
I'll buy you a shirt.
We got you.
Ken, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Bullet.
Bullet. Drizzle, what are you drinking?
I've got Brie Corona today.
Ooh.
Brie Corona.
Yeah.
Explain.
It's left over at a party, and they were cleaning it up, and they're like, "Oh, well, we don't want this Corona. You want it?" And I'm like, "I'll take it."
Brie Corona.
The best kind.
Yep.
It sounds like a slogan or a
Brie Corona.
Brie Corona.
Corona.
You know, I fucking hate that song. Do I hate that song?
Yeah, it's annoying.
Now you do.
Yeah, a little ways ago, when we were doing Dungeons and Dragons, the Dungeons and Dragons campaign. What was it called again?
Richmond
Fae.
Yeah.
We did a fundraiser at the behest of Kentucky Fried Dice, which you guys haven't checked out their channel, you might check out their channel. Kentucky Fried Dice does a whole bunch of really cool shit. But I was actually thinking we might do, I haven't talked to you guys about this at all, we might do another fundraiser. Maybe. Maybe. If you guys are down. You don't have to be down. But if you're down, we might do it. Deal.
Just as long as it's not for McDonald's.
No, it would be for Palestine.
Okay.
Well, they need all the help they can get.
Yeah.
That's real.
So we have to research like an actual, you know, someone to give money that you know, will actually put it to use. So if the chat has any Christians ideas, or if you guys do,
for Palestine probably would be the wrong one.
Yeah. But just somehow aid that situation. I don't know how we could do it, but it'd be cool if we could. Just to bring it down a notch. Right, so the last game that we played, the last session, this is session number 26 of the Red Writ.
Yep.
The Red Writ.
26, that's half a year, baby. 26. A whole lot has happened in this game. We're not going to go over all of it because a whole lot has happened. The last time we played, we actually played Into Space. So we've had a little bit of a buffer week. This game, we're going to do a little bit of recap, get you guys back into the flow, because all these big old decisions you're going to be making, well, they're bigger and bigger. We're also stalling, because Holger just told me how long he has before he gets here, which is about 8 minutes away. So, I think a little bit of a recap might be good. The recap.
And he knows exactly what's going on, so he doesn't need a recap.
No, he knows what he's going to do. He already knows. He's going to read that book, regardless of what's going on. You are in an octagonal room, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, an octagonal room. It is a big old fuck all room where they sacrifice people. In the middle of this room, with this massively vaulted ceiling, is a ziggurat, a small ziggurat. It's about 30 foot tall. Has two levels. Hasn't really been explored too much. There's been more going on, too much going on in the room to explore it. However, so you all are aware, it has not been explored. This room is the sunken temple. It's underneath the earth. You got to it by diving into a pool that was, I can't remember how deep I made it. It was stupid deep. It's like 30, 40 feet deep or something. Like way deeper than I would ever dive. You know what I'm saying? We would all drown if we tried to dive into it. Maybe not all of us. Maybe you guys can actually dive in real life.
Nope.
Not me, though. so you had gone down to the pool, gone through a few corridors, gotten into this octagonal room, which is supported by four pillars. There are braziers burning blue and orange light. They keep on switching game to game because I keep on switching them. The floor is mossy, wet, covered in filth, which you realize is actually caked blood from potentially tens of sacrifices, perhaps even more. The kind of atmosphere that'll make you sick. In this room, there were three acolytes. You handled them very quickly, using the game mechanics to your favor and your excellent bids, and I believe Nord taking kicking down the door and wrecking these people. There were two people you knew, Marcus Mizrahi, who is Leah's husband, technically. He, with the incantation of Lady Callie, turned into a big fucking monster. And next to him is Rebecca Foster, who is Nord's previous flame.
And on and on again, off again lover.
On again,
mostly off again. On again, off again, off again.
She is cowering, hoping that what happened to Marcus does not happen to her. Lady Callie is pissed. She kind of turns into a devil person. She looks, she starts to grow younger at this last sacrifice that she throws off of the pyramid. And Nord runs up to her and starts giving her the good news. She produces a mighty weapon. It looks like a big old funky spear, although as I have described it, it is not a spear. It looks like it's made for throwing. I won't go that far, actually. Anyway, and it's huge. She launches it. It doesn't hit anybody. She uses some sort of telekinetic magic to pull it back to her. This magicka seems to be the same type of stuff that Tony is using. Anytime Tony reads from this arcane book, this void magicka, and everyone makes sanity rolls because the unknown, the horror from the void comes through. Seems to be similar to the magicka that Lady Callie's using. This is the same kind of magicka and insanity that the wizard Onus, who you made an ally, talked to you about when Onus was talking about the different realms and places like the in-between. At any rate, Simon and Mariah run the length of the room to the back door, hoping that the rest of the sacrifices are there so that they can save them. In this whole kerfuffle, Leah has used a relic, the serpent relic, that she got from Lady Callie to kind of mesmerize. I'm sorry? From Onus.
Onus.
To mesmerize her monster husband. And Nord fights Lady Callie. Leah fights Lady Callie, shoots her in the face, and as far as you know, she's dead because her, you know, she got shot in the face. Tony had used magicka to keep Nord afloat for a moment before he fell. Simon goes into the back room and has a vision of many things. His past, back with his partner. What was his partner's name?
Albert Fox. And we were chasing the Hemlock Hoodlum. And I started to remember stuff that I probably blocked out. Because we got back there. And Albert, then there was another guy who came in. Another cop who was by himself and shouldn't have been, because you should always be with your partner. And Albert started to turn on me, and I walked into a room where the Hemlock Hoodlum was, and he proceeded to turn some dials and proceeded to dose all of us with liquid LSD. And as I go to shoot at the hemlock hoodlum, the other cop comes running in front of the bullet, and I end up shooting him in the head. And Albert pulls out his gun and starts to aim it at me, and I pull out my gun, and that's kind of where the flashback ends.
As the flashback ended, Simon believes that there are in these crypts, these catacombs that are in this back room, in the sunken temple, there are refugees, survivors of this cult, Lady K's cult. But when the rest of the group looks, they don't see that. What do they see?
Bones.
The bones of many, many dead. Simon realizes he's not seeing the truth. Or maybe they aren't. And that's essentially where we're going to start. P-centially. Many things are happening outside of this room. You left. There was a raging blizzard going on in Detroit. The power had been shut off. You've been warned that the sleepers would be awakened. And all sorts of hell is going to be going down in the city. The only light was where?
A lighthouse. Oh, no, it's the DuPont's place.
Yeah, DuPont's place.
The Buttes.
Buttes. The Buttes.
And Grosse Pointe. And Bald Hill Cemetery. And, in fact, the lighthouse, the light was still on, although it wasn't working properly. Something is going on at the lighthouse. Something is going on at Grosse Pointe.
There's also, you know, at least part of the roof caught on fire at the Buttes house, too.
Yeah, part of the roof caught on fire. Apparently they were burning candles and left the room unattended.
That's not what happened. Reset those fires.
They had a bonfire, and they weren't very careful with it. Yeah.
They were not at all careful with it.
As Mariah chimes in, and she's like, "Are we the bad guys?
Are we the bad guys again? Again? Yes." So that's essentially where we're going to start. We'll start first, though, with Simon. It's like when you've woken up and you're not sure that the dream that you had was a dream. You know, you see where you are. You see that you're standing. You're not in the same place. But there's that question, perhaps, in the mind of, did it happen like that? Was that just something? It's been many years ago. Maybe it didn't happen like that. You don't know. Or maybe you do. Actions on you. You're standing half in this catacomb room, half in the main auditorium as you hear Leah's shot ring out. Boom! You hear the familiar, all too familiar sound of, well, brain matter splashing on the ground. And, the heft of a body in the thud. Mariah's next to you.
And so I had just hauled off and punched the door as hard as I could. Oh. I don't know if that was real or if I was just seeing things, but if it was real, hopefully I helped them. Sorry about that, kid. I think all this is kind of getting to me.
Mariah looks up at you all too sternly, which is hilarious because she's 12. She looks a wreck. Maybe you realize how rough you look. As she doesn't say anything, her eyes are just firmly locked on you. There's sympathy in them. At the same time, there's the image of There's the feeling of, let's get on with it. We have something to do.
Hey, when... Let's go see if we can find stuff in that room.
With the bodies?
No, the down past it. The two rooms to the sides had bodies, but down past it, there was the chest and stuff down there.
She turns. All right. As she has this little pipe she's picked up, and she starts walking into the darkness.
Okay. And I will bid observant. Or are we in the dread for the montage?
Oh, you're in the dread now.
Okay. I'm going to bid observant to basically, because I've got my flashlight out, and I'm going down to the end where the chest was and checking out that area to see what all I can see.
As you move down, you hear Leah and Nord perhaps moving about. Speaking of you two, Leah, you're standing over top, not over, over, over top Lady Callie, her body, lying face down. Her red robes, like rose petals around her. What are you doing? You were behind the cigarette.
You said there's fire? And then,
yeah,
like,
there's in braziers at the beginning, on the four corners of this room.
Okay. So Leah will turn around. We'll turn towards the closest one, wherever. I guess if we're on the back. I assume that there's one close by.
Nope, they're at the corners. You're about equidistant.
Okay, well, I'll eeny, meeny, miny, moe it and go to one of them. Probably the one closest to where Simon went into.
Okay, yeah. So that's off to the left of the room.
Okay. And I'm going to... Are the braziers something that would be portable or not really?
No, they're big.
Okay.
They're big, they have stands, and it's just this large bowl with coals and skulls and all kinds of body parts in it, all blackened, raging with this unnatural blue and orange fire.
Okay. So in that case, as I'm going along, I will, you know, presumably there'll probably be a body or something along the way.
Hanging out?
Just one of the sacrificed people, or, you know, somebody that we killed.
There's the decapitated body that Lady Callie threw off. And then there are the nearby, where you're going, there's the body of Abigail DuPont, who you shot.
So I'll probably go to the beheaded body and take off its shirt.
Okay.
And wad it up, kind of like wrap, you know, roll it around itself. And as I get to the brazier, I will light it on fire. And bring it back to Lady Callie's body and toss it, you know, on her to catch her on fire.
Oh.
Assuming that this is
As this is all happening, Nord, what are you doing?
Well, I'm probably slipping around in the blood of Lady Callie, trying not to get any of it in my mouth. And I look up, and I'm sure that I see, I'm kind of trying to get up, but it's just, there's a lot of blood, and I'm slipping and falling, on the ground there. I'm going to try and take a little baggie out of my coat and, like, collect some of Lady Callie's blood.
Sure. Yeah, you can collect some. You know, it's got some dirt in it, and you get some of the blood. There's ample amounts.
Yeah. And I look around for Rebecca Foster.
You don't see her. She's you're behind the ziggurat. As far as you know, she's on top on the second level of it. You can hear, both of you can hear the murmuring. It sounds like Tony reading from a book. And you hear some whimpering, which Nord sounds to you like Rebecca Foster.
Okay, well, I'll head towards that. Are we in the Dread?
Oh, yeah.
Should I bid to get to her?
It's entirely up to you. If you want to change the fiction, then yes.
I'm going to bid Gleam the Cube and give it my all to run. Run up and try and find her.
Excuse me. As you wheel around, Nord, we'll say that you go around the ziggurat the same way that Leah did, which is around the west side of it. Simon, you're on the north side. All of you are on the north side right now. So you guys are going around the west side. You pass Leah. You see her, Nord, lighting this balled-up shirt on fire. She's on her tippy toes to reach up to the brazier as it catches, you know, after a few moments, and she's walking back to Lady K. Nord, as you bidding, what is it, the cube?
Gleaming the cube.
Gleaming the cube. As you run around swiftly, seemingly just not getting tired. You've been sprinting this whole time. Maybe the thought, man, I've been smoking and not exercising, but still got it. Just as you get to the foot of the ziggurat, the front of it, the south side of it, looking up the stairs, covered in blood, of course, you see Rebecca Foster slowly coming down the stairs. She's sort of boot scooting, you know, like butt scooting down. And she's got wild eyes that shift back and forth from the monster that is 15 some odd feet from you, Nord, this hulking, tentacle-ridden, spiny mass of something with bulbous eyes, grotesque and heaving, which everyone is completely cool with right now. And on the other side, Tony, her eyes shift back to him. As you look, Nord, you see Tony. He can describe himself. Hi, Tony. What does Tony look like?
Tony looks like a disheveled mess. He's still wearing that animal costume, probably covered in blood. Pretty unkempt.
He's wearing the animal skin. Do you remember what kind of animal it was?
A deer.
With the antlers and such. And as he stands there, one foot
out in front. I'm wearing
Bambi. One foot out in front, he's got this tome, this ancient manuscript, which he's reading from, and it's emanating a soft purple light. As his eyes have rolled back into his head and he's chanting like a prayer, there's this slight billowing of wind in the pelt. He looks like a witch with the antlers and the darkness. And Rebecca Foster looks absolutely terrified as she sees you, Nord, having bid Gleaming the Cube. Seeing you, she immediately recognizes you and leaps from about 7 stairs up down at you to grab onto you and hug you for dear life. Do you move out of the way?
I mean, I try to catch her a little bit. Like, I'm not going to put all under her, but I'm certainly going to try and help her land properly. I'm not going to just let her like fall, kill me. But can I bid again, or is that sort of thing?
That's the bid. That's the bit. As she grabs onto you and she says, "Oh, thank God.
It's good to see you again. I think we should." Did she say anything about how to stop the, you know, creatures from the other side coming in to save this world?
What? Okay. I don't even know where I am. Where am I?
You should probably go hide, because the danger's still happening.
What is that thing?
I don't know.
Points at the monster.
Don't look. Just run away. Run away.
She has a kung fu grip around your neck. She is not letting loose. It's like okay. An iconic 70s poster.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go towards it, maybe. Maybe I won't. Tony, I hope you're reading the book and thinking about that guy. That I didn't see until just now.
I'm still reading and chanting. My eyes are rolled up back into my head. It's glowing.
Speaking of Tony, do you bid anything? Are you trying to accomplish anything, or are you just slowly going nuts? You have this chance to take control of the fiction and do something, or you could just, you know, ride the wave.
No, I'm trying to make bad people go away.
Yeah. So at present, the only bad person, I mean, Nord, Leah, they're not bad people.
The otherworldly people.
Oh, otherworldly. The only one that you see is the hulking monster who seems to be pacified.
I'm telling him to go away.
All right.
We're trying.
What are you bidding, and how are you doing this?
I shall bid my motto.
Okay.
Which is, what kind of job can I get with 10 years of Latin?
All right, and you guys can help Tony if you dare, you players, since none of you actually know how this magic works, and you're kind of figuring it all out for yourselves. We need... Tony, you know that, or I should say Tony knows that, you have to have a very clear intention with this magicka. And the magicka itself has rules. So for example, if you've got a gun does a very specific thing. You could say, I'm going to use this gun to convince people to do stuff. However, the gun itself does a very specific thing. This magicka, this void magicka you use, it works a certain way. So you can accomplish certain things, but you got to have a very clear intention. It also can't do everything, just like a gun can't do everything. Arguably.
I'm chanting. I mean, do you want to know what I'm actually chanting?
Yeah, why not?
Don volu eliri citiun mondo. Don reiru alla inferno.
Oh shit. Go to the fire? Go to hell?
Yeah, go back to hell.
Ah. So you're trying to send this thing back to whence it came.
Yes.
Alright. What are you bidding? Oh, you bid your motto. Roll thy chaos die. Be a D6.
Thy chaos die.
It being a 1 would mean chaos.
Here comes the rubber die.
I'm pretty sure that's a line in your porno.
It's a 3.
That's good. It's not a 1. All right. attempting to accomplish is to compel this thing. The throwdown be your mind and your action die. To compel this thing. Go on, sorry.
I was just going to say, did any of you guys watch Jackie Chan Adventures? This is going to sound totally random, but I promise it's not.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, there was a famous... That made me think of it when I was thinking of what it would be funny if he said... Because there's this line in it where Uncle, who is, you know, the sort of Chinese medicine man kind of character, anytime there's an evil spirit around, he says... No, I'm not going to get it right. Ju mo guai guai fai zi zhao. And basically, it's like the translation of it is, evil spirits, go away. And I thought that'd be appropriate.
That zhao is zhou, which means to go. Right on. Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Good.
As this is pacified, this monster, all you need is two successes. So the threshold is one. As you get three successes, clean success, which means you get a narrative point, which you can use now or you can bank. Remember, you can only have five.
I'm using it now.
All right. So you get the narrative point. You can change the narrative. What happens? How does this go down?
I chant this to the monster.
Yep.
And my voice starts getting louder and louder. And I start to rise up off the floor. And my clothes start to sway in the wind that comes out of nowhere. And the monster starts to slink backwards. As I look at it, the monster averts its eyes with its tentacles, or tries. Got to make the best effort possible, because it's a monster with tentacles, and I don't know if it has eyelids, but it's got to use something.
Yes, and then, because you accomplished your task.
And then the monster just starts to sink below the floor. Slowly fading away as it sinks little by little into seemingly nothing until there's nothing left. It's just the floor.
With a whimper, Marcus Mizrahi. is pushed from this realm. It looks like when you push and stretch plastic, as he's pushed through the floor, and reality around him stretches as you see this rip occur, and darkness and the sense of a rushing wind as he is sucked. No, you're behind Burning Lady K, Bay. As
wait.
As getting ahead. Sucked down into the realms. Yes, Leah.
No. Okay, just hold on a second. I'm not gonna try and stop that. I mean, I can't. What I'm going to do though is use one of my narrative points to say as he is getting sucked down, the necklace sort of like stays at ground level and sort of like, almost like something floating on the top of water.
Yeah,
it's just the organic matter. It's not the metal. All the metal stays.
Indeed. As you see, he's pushed through and the necklace is laying there on top of it. And just when you think it's about to be done, you hear kukwing and a big bag of gold pops up. Ting, ting. And you see 12 points. It kind of like spins up into the air, you know. Suddenly the game stops a little scroll thing comes all the way down. It's like, you leveled up! Pick one or two fucking things! Boop, boop, boop. As Leah, you have like this whole poster of you like, divorced! Yeah, you get the loot. The loot's there. Also his wallet with all of his money. Go ahead and roll the D100. We'll see how much he had.
Are you fucking with me?
I'm gonna rib the shit out of you for this. Go on, roll that shit. I don't, 1982, do we have credit cards? Was that a thing?
Yeah, there are credit cards. They had to put it in that machine, and you put the little laminate in the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And then you put the credit card in, and you went
boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
$58.
Hey, in 1982, it's pretty good. 58 whole dollars, man.
That'll go to repairing my Buick.
That's right. Buy a whole Buick for $58. $58, keys to his truck. What else? What else would he have on him? His birth certificate.
Next session, it's just next session. The alimony will just start showing up out of the ground.
Right.
You get little letters from hell. the text on the letters. It's all cursive, but it glows right. In the dark. And I mean, you don't. It looks normal in the light, but when you turn the lights off, it glows in the dark.
Indeed. All that is there. Good narrative point.
Well, good. Like, I swear, like, I had logic for it. Like, you know, like, maybe because, like, because, like, the necklace didn't seem like it would be something of that realm or wherever he's going. It's like, my logic for that was, you know.
The logic makes sense. It's just funny that you care more about the fucking necklace. Because,
like, I figured I couldn't stop it. So, like... You kind of already implied that I can't stop it, so I'm like, at least I'm gonna do something with it.
Figured you'd use a narrative point to, like, you know, change it so he didn't die.
Mariah gets to go to hell.
Can I fix it?
No, I don't think so.
Narrative
think
point.
Oh man, what if I use a pit and a narrative point?
We could fate roll it.
Fate roll it.
You want to fate roll it?
I mean.
Yeah.
Do you love him that much? Do you want to spend your resources?
I mean, at the very least, Leo wants, you know, jewelry. Answers. No. I just figured.
All right, let's fate roll it. All right, so fate roll. Who's got fortune? Who's got false fortune?
I'll take
so
fortune.
Can I propose a stake?
I'll be false.
Because I think I have an idea that makes sense.
You can propose the fortune.
Okay. So my proposal for why it would save him, and in my thinking of it would be that by Tony telling the evil, you know, the demon to go back to hell, it sort of like pulls the evil off Marcus and sort of sucks it back into hell, leaving the man behind.
Like an exorcism.
So.
Idea.
What we'll do, because we can't undo the void magicka sending him away, but what we can do is say fortune removes the blight from him. However, he is sent away. It's just he's able to be found somewhere if you so choose, or he's able to perhaps find his way back. He's got a journey ahead of him either way.
Hmm.
But you basically, the void magicka, it can't cleanse, because that's not what void magicka does, but it can separate, we'll call it a demon, the demon from him. I think that's pretty cool. That'll be fortune. False fortune. Marcus, sent away, banished from this realm, is sent to this horrible in-between realm that Onis actually walks. And there, constantly hunts like the boogeyman, preys upon the innocent and the weak, and waits for the day that he can get his revenge upon Leah for allowing this to happen.
Also, I swear I'm listening. I got to the bathroom real quick.
Cool, do it. All right, roll it.
Roll the dice. Uh-oh. I rolled pretty high.
Leah turned into a corgi. Yeah.
As false fortune, did you roll higher than a 95?
Oh.
No, I didn't. Not even close. I rolled a 76, so that was pretty good. I mean, I was three quarters of the way there. I don't have a lot of stake in Marcus, so I'm not going to spend my resources.
Oh, wait. Which one of you was false?
I was false.
Oh, shit. Oh. All right, that was the other way around.
And I don't know if I have a lot of resources. I do have a lot of resources.
I have enough to spend one on it.
All right.
Okay.
Leah drops proficiency.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about this one. Oh shit. You're gonna have a hard time beating me on this one.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I have an 82.
I win. I got a 97.
Hell yeah.
The Marcus
the howl. Is doomed. Howl of the Daemon. Howl of the Daemon. You see Nord. Nord and Tony, you both see this tentacle monster ripped from Marcus. It takes off a good layer of his skin and it's shunted immediately, like in the blink of an eye, into the greater void. You see it howling, growing larger, and as it's about to attack, something otherworldly occurs. There's a split like a lightning strike as you hear an explosion in the distance of this far realm. As Marcus is hovering there in the void energy, Tony, that you have, as he looks up at you and looks down at you, Nord, as he's about to speak, he fades. You get the sense that he is freed from whatever blight he had on him, but he is sent somewhere in rags and wounded.
That's going to be it's going to be quite the transfer if he gets every other weekend for Mariah.
The long distance.
Can you imagine Leah having to tell her every other weekend to just go to hell?
Don't know why I try.
Sounds like a hell of a trip.
Hey.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. I'm going to get some coffee. You know, sounds like a good point. Take a 10-minuter. And then we'll do the sponsor when we get back.
Sounds great.
All right.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast that we do every Monday night at exactly 7 p.m. Eastern time zone. Do you want to do this, Drizzle? You want to read us through?
Thank you to the cast. Me, the Drizzle, Ken Howell, Andrea Elliott Johnson, Daniel Hulker, and Arbiter Bill Duncan. Thanks for the music by All Lowercase Letters and Mr. Interrupt. We'd also like to thank our Patreons, Nostalgic, Natalia Klein, Tim Roberts, and Daniel Hulker. Thanks to Couch Fire Media for doing all the pretty things you see here and the technical side of stuff that nobody else of us knows how to do. And thanks to Terrible Productions for whatever they do.
We'll be back in just a minute.